Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. And we get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamas!
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Super mamas. We're back. We're back. We're back online. Wait, we're back
on audio. Your ears.
And on your face.
And on your face.
No.
Tell us what you think. What do you guys think about this new format?
Yes, yes, yes.
Me tengo que peinar. What do? Do I... Ahora sí voy a tener que comprar una dieta.
Dumb.
Dude, talking about that, my best friend, Jackie, lost around 20 pounds.
Good for her.
She looks amazing. She's incredible. Like, she's working out, like, every day for an hour. We're doing... half marathons together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's inspired me. She inspires me all the time. She's so in tune with herself. She's always about all about that.
That's so awesome. Good for her.
Yeah, when I saw her, it's amazing.
What made her want to do that?
I think she was telling me that, sorry, Jack, I'm putting your business out there, but no, she was just telling me that she was feeling down. She was feeling like she got in a point where she was feeling like depressed and
mm-hmm.
she
like didn't normal,
know what, normal stuff,
normal
you know?
Stuff. We all go to,
she was feeling anxious. And, then she said, I need to work on myself and, you know,
yeah,
just
good. Good for her.
Yeah, she looks great. She's like super fit, but not only that, but she's like fit. I know.
Oh, nice.
It's crazy. But she's inspired me. So now I told her, I was like, I'm going to work out every day too. So I've been working out too, and it's great.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you.
I know. Well, a ver si se nota, eh? Que estoy llena. La cámara, aumenta 15 libras.
Don't say that, because people are going to look at me and they're going to be like, damn, Bricia, you really don't eat. You were really not kidding that day that you said that.
Actually, no, we do eat. We eat a lot, actually.
I was just telling somebody this. Everybody always asks me this question about my weight and what do I do? And,
you know, blanca.
Yeah. Well, number one, I think that I've always had a very slim figure. You know, for those of us who, I've always been thin, like Javi, who we mm-hmm. had a few weeks ago on the show. You know, no one's ever happy with the way they look. Mm-mm. You know, I'm sure that you look back at your pictures and you always say this, right?
When
you
do.
Said, I can't believe I thought I was overweight at this point in my life and look how great I looked. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I think everybody has some sort of body dysmorphia.
Yes.
So I'm really working on that. It's a constant journey. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, one of the things that it's really difficult for me as a person who has always had a slim figure is just the constant bullying of my legs are the skinniest legs in the world. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are probably listening to this and it's like, oh, so annoying. Like, how are you complaining about skinny legs? I would give anything to have skinny legs. But it's, again, it's so different. Everybody yes. has body issues. I want everybody to respect that. But anyways, but it's one of these things where I like to be healthy and I like to maintain a fit structure, right? So I do eat a lot, but I only eat Monday through Friday. I only eat once a day. And once a day, and then I have a snack. And A. Martinez, who is a co-host of Take Two, a KPCC program, mm-hmm. we were talking about this because I saw him and he's changed a lot since last time I saw him. He was ripped. He was super fit. And I asked, man, like what, like you look like you've been really working out and really thinking your body. And he told me that that's what he was doing. He says, his is different because I usually eat around lunchtime anywhere from like 12 to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. But I'll eat whatever I want. Like, yeah. I don't restrain myself from that one meal. And then I won't eat again. But I just don't get hungry.
That happens. I mean, that does happen.
But, and I'll have a bar or something, and then that's it. And I drink a lot of water. A lot of water. And but, wait, he said something. He says, I truly believe that we don't eat as much food as we are led to believe. And we had this huge discussion about how it really is this idea that, you know, America leads you to believe that you need 3 meals a day, you need this much and that much, is about consuming, mm-hmm. when in reality, what your body needs, you know, again, like I listen to my body.
You're not a professional.
I'm not a professional. I, like, yesterday I was watching this video that said that eating a plate of French fries was, no, that you were better off smoking a cigarette than eating a bowl of French fries. I was like, BS. I am not going to believe that. I am not going to. But some people out there believe that, and that's okay. I think at the end of the day, you have to listen to your body.
Yeah.
But if you are about intermittent fasting, I will say that that has great results.
I am on intermittent fasting too. But what I was going to is, everybody's body frame is different.
Yeah.
I just looking at my two kids, Krista, it's a lot like me. Krista just reminds me so much of me. Like, it's crazy. And it's crazy how much Sabina reminds me of you. It's insane.
Yeah, but also I feel like, is that you projecting your own things into your daughters?
No.
I don't know. No, I don't believe
their personalities. I am not anything like Sabina. And she's totally different than Krista. But not only that.
I feel like Sabina looks more like you.
No, she looks like me, but she acts a lot like you. And her body frame is very thin, like yours. Krista's body frame, even at that age, was very different. And that's what I'm saying. Krista's body frame, her legs are thick. Her butt is thick. It's like bigger. It's rounder. Sabina is very slim, like very, very slim. And I can see it. I can see it on their clothes because they hand me down. So mm-hmm. I remember how things fit, and it's just, they're just different. You know, you and I were different. And the thing was that when you and I were growing up, people would compare us a lot. Like, oh, you're like this and you're so, you know.
Yeah.
But with my girls, they're just different. Both of them are very different. One of them is into one thing, one of them is into another thing. And I just try to nurture both of them the same way, you know. One's into Legos, the other one's into nail art.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, also, I remember, I don't know who I was talking a long time ago to an older lady, Mrs. Haskell. And mm-hmm. and I remember this conversation. I was like, you know, I'm so worried. She's older. You know, she has like a 40-year-old son. And I was telling her, you know, my kids don't eat. And, you know, I'm so worried and they're so skinny. And she said, please, my son survived on quesadillas and like chips. And look at him, he's fine. And then I've met other people that tell me the same thing. So I don't really worry about it anymore as much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they'll grow into whoever they have to be about eating.
Are we talking about the kids or are we talking about ourselves? I'm so confused.
We're talking about food, relationship with
okay.
food.
I was like, wait, I thought we were talking about...
No, because, see, like, we are led to believe that we have to eat a certain amount of food
kids. That's how you were tying everything in.
I'm tying everything
in.
Okay, got it. Because, you know, my husband always wants to force my kids to eat a lot. And mm-hmm. when he serves them food, he serves them adult-sized meals. And he gets upset if they don't finish it. So I try to tell him, like, they're not going to eat that much.
Well, I feel like this is something you should bring up in therapy next time. And today we have the best guest for this.
She is amazing.
We have therapist Joanne Kogel. Dr. Joanne Diaz Kogel is a licensed marriage family therapist from Pasadena, California. Mm. Ooh, ooh, what, my hood? Not really. I don't really live there, but anyway.
You claim it.
Because it's just where I hang out. Prior to her master's degree, she worked for over 18 years as a television producer, working on numerous TV shows. After experiencing the sudden loss of her young husband in a car accident, she realized her life lacked a deeper meaning and purpose. She then decided to return to college and received her Master of Arts in Marriage Family Therapy in 2005, and also wrote a 291-page thesis titled The Impact on the Surviving Spouse with Respect to Anticipated versus Unanticipated Death. Joanne is a very, very passionate in helping her clients thrive and grow from their experiences in therapy. She now specializes in couples counseling, premarital counseling, loss and grief, individual and personal growth therapy or coaching, and has worked with thousands of individuals and couples to create a better, more fulfilled, and happy lives.
Yes. She has so much advice about how to best help, but how to best approach your spouse
mm-hmm. about therapy, mm-hmm. the best kind of therapy, couples therapy, communication, like you were talking about eating. And food. Yes. In my mind, I'm just thinking, maybe you bring it up and say, every time you, I feel like this way when you serve our children. Time.
Yes. And you have to make it about I, right?
Oh, anyway, hard. We learned so much. I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. Before we get to the episode, though, let's get to our Supermama pick and tip of the week. Hi, Supermamas. I know we have talked about our book, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico, in past episodes. The book tells the story of our family's journey from Oaxaca to Los Angeles, and it includes over 100 family recipes. Yes, that includes our OG award-winning mole negro recipe. It would mean the world to us to have your support and have every single one of you order a copy today. You can order Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico today by visiting ilovemole.com/Oaxaca Cookbook. That's ilovemole.com/OAXACA Cookbook. Our book will also be available everywhere books are sold on October 22nd, 2019. Thank you so much, mamas. We cannot wait for you to have a copy in your hands.
Thought of Javi when he said, like, you're a Pasadena poser.
I am a Pasadena poser. I don't live there, but it's the closest neighborhood to where I live that has a movie theater. Mm. And everything, really, my husband and I, revolves around movies and going to movies. So it really is a place where we hang out a lot because of a movie theater.
Yeah. So then
I don't know, we just kind of a little bit. Oh my gosh. Okay. I know we're like so short of time, but I have to say the story. When we were looking for homes, my husband brought up Pasadena. And I said, no, I am not moving to Pasadena. I am not going to be the friend that lives in Pasadena, so far from everyone. And I just don't want to be a Pasadena person. No. And then we were walking in Pasadena at that time, and we saw this couple that were wearing matching outfits, and they were pushing a stroller. And we're like, yeah, like, look at those people. Like, can you imagine? I'm not going to be that. Cut to 2 years later, we're in Pasadena every single time. We're wearing matching outfits, and we're pushing our stroller. And we're like, oh my God, we have become those people. And you know what? I love it. Freaking love Pasadena. And I regret not buying a house in Pasadena. Oh. I should have.
I claim West Adams district.
Adjacent
to West Adams.
Okay, pick or tip, Paulina. What is
I your... have I know I always talk about my armpits. Showing to the camera,
both,
but not really.
We both
anyway, always talk about armpits. Your issue is smell. My issue is more like visual. Like, my armpits are always dark.
I don't know whose is worst.
I mean, you know, it's
I could
it's
put foundation both, like, on it. No. As long as I don't smell one. If I wore a shirt this big, and I mean, even if I'm covering it up, like, if I walk up to you, you'll be like, oh, this girl needs to wear better deodorant. I mean,
no, but still.
But like, if you come up to me on a regular day, I wouldn't even notice that you have discolored pits.
It's a struggle. Trust me. Anyway, I've been struggling with that. There was a point during the summer where my husband was like, hey, like, you got to do something about the pits. And so I did. Communication. Mm-hmm. Communication. I feel like I get offended every time I see your armpits.
Okay.
And I was Googling like crazy, and I found this. It's a juice toner that's actually for the face. It's a lemon juice toner from Clean and Clear. It's gently expels impurities and tones skin. But I read that people use it for their armpits. And honestly, it's helped me so much. It went from like dark, dark to very light, dark.
To like a shade?
It improved about four shades.
Oh, four shades
of dark under your armpits.
Interesting.
So if you have the same problems I do, get it. I love it. Every night I clean it, and every time I clean it.
Before and after.
Yeah. I didn't take a picture before.
You should. Well, take it right now and see what the progress is.
Yeah. And every time I clean my armpits with the, like, un algodón, it always comes dirty. It always, like, every time I pull more and more stuff.
But I is know. That like dirt or is that discoloration?
I have no idea. Maybe
that's like mugre.
I'm peeling my skin. Pieces of flesh come with it. No.
Oh, that was just mugre. Okay. So my pick is going to be Cristela Alonso's new book, Music to My Years, a mixtape memoir of growing up and standing up. I personally love the audio version of this just because I listen to her voice and it's she her? Is just her. So aww. Shout out to Cristela, who we absolutely love and adore. She looks gorgeous on the cover. And she is gorgeous. I'm just all about supporting, you know, Latino writers and Latino
fellow Latino
authors. You know, so
when are you gonna do the audible version of Oaxaca Home Cooking of the Horn?
I'm think about it. Sure. You know what? I have been thinking about that so much about because no one's really done an audible version of any cookbook. So I was thinking,
okay, let's not put this out there.
But if someone does it and it does great I'm for them, it's fine because it just opens the door for
if I'm cooking,
else.
I yeah. would want to hear it.
Yeah, totally, cooking. Or both. Both. You guys can get both the audio and the hard copy. Anyway, putting it out there if anybody
Amazon,
is interested.
Get it.
Without further ado, though, here is our interview with therapist Dr. Joanne Diaz-Kogel.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming to our show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You know, my sister was the first in her family to go to therapy.
I was.
Really?
She's the originator.
I'm with you.
Thank
I'm the first to ever go in my family.
You know something funny? I used to, for a whole year, every week I used to make up an excuse to leave and go because nobody knew where I was going.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But it's really changed my life and I'm so grateful for it.
I always tell my clients, to me, it's like a master's degree in my life.
Yes.
You know, a lot of things when you grow up, especially Latina, mm-hmm. and the old molds and stuff that you kind of want to break and, or different kinds of living in two worlds.
Yeah.
And dealing in therapy was really great for me. And
yeah.
I never thought I was going to be a therapist years later, though.
It took me a while, but now most of my family has done therapy. My husband is also taking therapy and my sister's taking therapy. I'm like, what?
Kind of. Not the best student.
My brother took some premarital therapy as well. So,
I think that's very important. Relationships,
very, yeah. And I'm taking also my classes on marriage and stuff.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm trying.
You know, that's the thing I really want to see more of. I'm in Pasadena and I get the cultural is everything, but I'm getting like 40% Asian and I get very few Latinos.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing. I wish to see that. The stigma's still there.
Very, very. I just did an interview yesterday actually about mental health in the Latino community and mm-hmm. how it seemed like if you go to a therapist because you're crazy. That's
exactly.
local.
Well,
you know?
I grew up with, I remember having an aunt that, you know, I was little, I didn't know, but my mom, everybody would say, here, cuckoo aunt. And I'm like, cuckoo aunt. And she was not cuckoo. She was going to therapy and I think maybe she had depression. But it was, you know,
she was the sane, the more sane of all of them.
She was. So, yeah, there's a lot of people in my family who should go therapy, but we won't go there.
Everybody.
But you focus specifically on marriage and family therapy.
Yes.
How did you choose that?
Good question. I'm not really sure.
That lane.
I started out actually, you know, I used to be a TV producer for 18 years and decided to leave after a tragedy in my life. My husband was killed in a car accident and I went and did, became a grief facilitator later. And everybody was like, you should be a therapist. And I looked recently, I was cleaning my closet and found a goal thing. It was done in the 1980s saying that I want to become a therapist.
Wow, like a vision board?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, I didn't even remember saying that. So it was so weird. So later on, I became a therapist and I thought I was going to work more with grief but that got to be a little too heavy. So then I decided I was going to do adolescence because I love adolescence. And I was actually, I interned in Pacoima at Hathaway Sycamores when I was doing my internship. So they were all kids, adolescents, mm-hmm. anything from 5 to 18. And I loved them, but it was very difficult because the parents were the ones that, here's my kid, fix him. and it was more a Latino community. Yeah. And so you try to get them to have therapy. And no, I don't need it. They need it. You know?
It has to be everybody, right? I think, for example, for couples, it should be both going to therapy absolutely. At the same time.
And so I don't know how I just all of a sudden I started getting into couples and I loved it because I can be more direct. And I felt like there's just something I had, I'm more natural in that. So since then, I've been probably 10 years now, almost all couples or relationship, individuals that are dealing with relationship issues. And it's probably considered one of the hardest therapies to do because you are dealing with two personalities. And sometimes it can get really intense in the room. But I like that because I can also, you know, be stronger with them. If they really want to work at it, they like that. They like the directness.
Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning. How do you convince your partner to go to therapy? How do you bring it up in a relationship? Because it some people might feel, why should we go to therapy? We're not crazy. Are we going that bad? I don't think we're doing having issues. How does one start that conversation with one's partner?
I think the way you do it is you let them know, I think we're having some issues. Presented in a way about, it's about me. I'm feeling this way. It would make me feel happy if you and I could go talk about these things. Usually I don't have a problem. It seems like both partners want to come because they're at a place already that they know there's issues. Mm-hmm. But I do get people who call and say, you know, my partner's not really into it yet. Can I come and see you? For instance, I had someone that came to see me this week and she wanted to kind of get an idea of how I worked and how she could talk to her husband about it. And, you know, let me know what was his issues as far as don't come on too strong or don't talk about this, that kind of thing. And so, you know, what I advised her was to go back to him and just say, you know, I think it would be great for us. It would help me understand myself better. Not so much you, but mm-hmm. it's about me. Mm-hmm. And she called and I'm seeing her tonight, the two of them.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
so he was willing to come in. So, it's all in the approach. It really is us learning not to always go you.
Yeah.
You know, I always talk about, and every therapist does, I think, the I messages. I feel sad when you come home and you go straight and say hi to the baby and don't say hi to me. Mm-hmm. Or I feel, instead of, you never come in and what, you know, you go straight to the baby and stuff. Because so you hear those things.
So true. Yeah. I think one of the things that has helped me, because, you know, you, as a wife, you always try to fix your husband.
Oh, yes.
Right? Everybody's trying to fix or change their husband.
And that is the number one thing that everyone, the woman is very much wanting to be in control.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to call her controlling.
And so control. I would say for a long time, I'm going to therapy. I think you should go to therapy for sure. And he'd be like, yeah. No, you know, he would. Mm-hmm. So then I stopped saying that.
Yes.
And then I just continued working on me. And then I just went to therapy for myself. And then I just, you know, he would ask me, how are things going in therapy? And I was like, oh, they're great. And we talked about this. Or he would hear things that would come up in therapy. And I'd be like, you know, I haven't thought about this thing for such a long time, but I'm so glad I did. And it's out and it's done with. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he saw changes in me.
Yes.
And then he said, I'm going to go take therapy. And he went on his own and got his own therapy. And I didn't have to look, instead of me like, well, here's the thought. You should go here, you know, because I would tend to do that. Be like, you should do this.
Uh-huh.
And he would always be like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
And then once he saw that I was doing it, he went into it on his own. I was like, yes, fine.
See, and it's because it's coming from him.
Yes.
Rather than feeling that, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, the feeling of being emasculated. Mm-hmm. The wife's telling you what to do. And, you know, I want to be my own person. But if they see the change, it's like my mom, she saw the change in me. And after I went to therapy, my mom went to therapy, which was shocking.
Cause, wow.
You know, but she and I are the only ones. I mean, yeah. The men, it's the same thing. They see the change and like, I'm curious. Or maybe they come in one time with their wife. I always say, tell them to come in that it's a support system for you. I'm wanting them to bring in their issues about you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my little way of getting them in there. And then they start talking and hopefully they feel comfortable. And then all of a sudden, like, I like this.
Yes.
And I get a lot of people that are first time ever in therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And I just hope it continues to be that way, because I think it's just so helpful for relationships, especially, because they're hard.
It is hard. It's even so hard to be married.
It's so hard.
Marriage is hard. You know, marriage is work. Marriage is a lot of work.
Well, anyone that comes to I've had premarital counseling, and they think once we're married, everything's going to be okay. I said, no, the work begins then.
Yes.
You know, we work hard on a career. We're always doing, you know, continuing education, or, you know, we have classes that, and I said, it's the same thing with marriage. We have to nurture it. Mm-hmm. And if you go into it knowing it's work, then you expect it. If you go into it and think, oh, it's so easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to have its moments where it's easy. It's going to have its moments that we have life. Things happen. Triggers. When children, I see couples after they have a child that's maybe a year or 2 years old, because now all the stressors of we've disconnected. It's all about the kids. Then you add a second child.
Or even a third. More.
Yeah.
So. If you're crazy.
Yeah, I have three kids.
You have three kids. that's not unusual. My mom had four.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I think a lot of people in our culture always say, like, well, you know, I think all you need is a kid. You need to have a kid, and then your problems will get better.
No.
And then you think about this, and I always say, no, like, now that I look back, I'm like, no, the children come in the middle of you too. Like, they, you know, the baby sleeps in the middle, the baby sleeps there. You know, it's like, even physically, the baby is in the middle. I think I think the first 2 years are the hardest, because you completely get absorbed with this new being, and, you know, you leave your partner on the side. And that's the truth. People that haven't had a date, haven't had sex in over like years. And it's so crazy to think that people think that a baby's going to come and fix that relationship that already was in trouble, you know?
You know, and that's what I try to talk about when I do premarital counseling, is to say, you know, if you're expecting to have children, these are the four warnings. You know, it's wonderful, but, you know, it's that whole analogy, if you're on the plane and it's going to, you know, the mask comes down, who do you put it on first? Yourself, not the child. Mm-hmm. You can't let go of the relationship.
Yes.
You have to nurture the relationship. And I know sometimes it's hard. There are people, and I find this in certain cultures too, especially the Latina culture, they're afraid to leave their child with anybody else, even with a husband. Like, they don't even trust the husband. Mm-hmm. It's me, mama.
Yes, yes.
You know? And I'm like, if you can work on that, because it's important to nurture your husband, because I do get husbands that come in and say, you know, I feel jealous. She's like, puts all the attention on. I do feel neglected.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So true. So true.
How does therapy work, and what is the most common problem brought to you when you've seen so many couples throughout these years? What would you say are the top three problems that cause stress in that relationship?
The top three would definitely be communication, disconnect, and now I would say emotional infidelity. Online dating, the online, you know, someone is maybe, again, they're disconnected. Maybe the husband or the wife are busy working, or the child and stuff. So now all of a sudden they see someone they knew on Facebook, you know, an old boyfriend or girlfriend, and they still think of them as 18, you know, not 40. And so they start talking to them, and before they know it, they get into trouble with, oh, I've been really talking to this person on a daily basis, and emotionally now they're like involved. And then they come into therapy, and I said, that is an affair. That's an emotional cheating. And they look at me like, it's not. I didn't have intercourse. And I'm like, it's the moment you keep a secret from your significant other that is cheating. And it happens a lot where I've had several men in this last month who, and I don't mean it's just men, because I've seen it with women too, but several men who have turned into online dating, just not to go out on the dates, but to feel like they are still can attract someone to flirt with. I have one person that he's like, I didn't even know.
Yeah, it's so true.
I'm glad we're videotaping this, because my reaction right now is like.
Yeah, it's what I see in here. It's sad.
Yes.
It's telling you. Well, the thing is obviously there's great things about social media, but it's also opened up a world of a lot of ways to do things that you can hide from your spouse.
Yeah.
But it's also opened up a lot of ways that your spouse can find out you're cheating. There's no, you got that GPS on your phone. You're
yes,
tracked.
That's so true.
Enabled location yeah. without them knowing.
Yes.
Well, then just don't cheat. Just don't cheat. But you know,
men don't know how we women are great detectives.
My best friend always, like, she, I think she's the one that always brings me down to that kind of thing. And she tells me, well, you know, you got to take care of your men. You know, you don't want anybody else out there taking care of him, right? He's like, you know, they will go looking. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. And then, you know, you have to step out of that. You have to snap out of that and really.
But the man needs to take care of your woman.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, take care of each other. Yeah. That's what I mean. But you know, I've seen, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but like once you start having kids, you start letting go of yourself. You don't, you know, you, and it starts with you. Like, that's why I say, like, you have to take care of yourself first, mentally, emotionally, because then you start letting go and then you start like, ah, whatever, I don't care. And then, you know, you haven't talked to him. You haven't touched him. You haven't touched each other for a while. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, you are actually, you know, finding someone on Facebook, or he's finding someone on Facebook. So whatever
you both are sometimes.
You need to.
You both realize, oh, we are both doing it. What was going on?
Yeah.
Let's look at it. I mean, I find that when I have that, though, I would say 90% of the people that come to see me stay married. Mm-hmm. What happens is I call it track one, track two. Track one was what caused you to have this infidelity or to do this. Anything from, you know, the what we call micro cheating to actual real cheating and having affairs. But they tend to realize they were both, where was both their responsibilities, what was going on there, and they work on it. And I've seen some wonderful successful stories that, and it's, which is makes me feel really great.
Yeah,
because I think if the love is there, it's just sometimes it's so blurred by anger, a lot of resentment from past stuff. I mean, I get women who have had resentment from like when they were pregnant and the husband didn't know how to be there for them and stuff. So she's carrying these anger for years.
20 years.
Yeah. 20 years. Yeah. And I get them to talk about it and they're like, oh gosh, what, you know, it's like, you know, we only have today. Yesterday's gone. We got to deal with it, obviously, the resentment, but now let's live for today.
Yes.
But oh my gosh, women don't forget anything.
No.
I got to say, I don't forget that. Yeah. It bring up stuff from 20 years ago.
Yeah. For real. Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that we can work on our marriage? What are some tips that you can give us?
You know, I think what's important is we work on us first. Mm-hmm. I really think that the woman, we have to love ourselves first and respect ourselves and expect that for our partner to respect us. Because often, like you were saying, if we let ourselves go, if we don't care about ourselves, that starts to make the man not care about you because you don't care about yourself. And also to be interesting for yourself. And it's not just to be interesting for him, but I think, you know, you probably find if you have a man that stayed at home and is boring, you're not, you kind of lose sight. If the more interesting the man is, the more interested you are. And the same thing with a woman. I think that's a great one. I think obviously always communicating, being vulnerable, not being afraid to say how you're really feeling. And it's interesting that we can be so intimate with our partner, but not emotionally.
Yeah.
We can't say to them, you know, right now I'm really feeling sad about gaining weight because I had this child and you don't know what it's like. Or instead it's like you get mad or whatever. So I think communication's really important.
With I first. Communication with
I wanted
first.
To touch
well,
on
the I messages, you mean?
Yeah. I want to touch a little bit on communication before. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No.
But I think like that's one of the biggest factors everywhere, just in general in life, just with coworkers, with people, just communication.
Correct.
Can you give us some tips on better communicating with our partners or, you know, just with, just communicating in general?
The number one is to listen. We are so busy. You know, let's say our partner's saying something and we're already in our mind thinking how we're going to rebuttal it, how we're going to disagree with them, how they're wrong, or how we're right. And instead, what I try to teach, because I'm a, you know, we all do it. It's we right away want to like, no, that's not it. But I always, what I try to teach is listen. Yeah. This is her feelings or his feelings. And ask, I'm not sure, because what happens, especially men are fixers, and women are too. We're all fixers in some way, some more than others. But we want to, like, let's say someone's saying, oh, at my job, I was just so stressed out because, you know, my boss yelled at me and stuff. And then maybe he's going to say something like, well, you should have done this, da, da, da. And you don't want that. All you want to be is heard. So if you can say to, if what I teach them is to be able to listen to the other person, and you can even say it, I'll teach them, you know, like, I don't know, you're telling me this. Do you want me to respond to you, or do you just want me to hear you? Mm. And often it's, I just want you to hear me. I just want you to give me a hug. You know,
that's so true.
It's really about listening and then taking the cue from the other person, what they want. I mean, I had a woman that came in to see me, and she, for 20 years, she said her husband, because he was an engineer, and engineers have a certain way of, they want to fix everything. Mm-hmm. And so she would get upset because she says, for 20 years, he never listened to me. All he wanted to do was tell me how to fix it. And I mean, she got hysterical in the office. And I'm like, how sad. It took her 20 years to be able to tell her husband this.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, well, why didn't you tell me? I thought when you told me it's because you wanted me to mm-hmm. do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So listening is really important, and also being okay to disagree. You know,
I'm saying, how long do you listen? Because sometimes it's like you're trying to listen. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm gonna tell you. Like, I'm always put my business out there, but you know, sometimes what? Because now we're trying to communicate, and I'm like, well, mm-hmm. okay, so then tell me, and then I'm like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I'm like, Jesus, how long is this gonna? You know, so I'm like, can I speak now? Okay, no. Okay.
You're like raising your hand.
I'm like, no. Okay.
You thought like hold the like,
see, but already you're not listening to him true. When you're thinking how long, see? how long.
Yeah,
that is so true. It's, you've got to be pay attention. But I also, the other thing is that they really say like 3 to 5 sentences is enough, because by then you lose each other, because it's blah, 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 blah. All you start seeing is moving mouths, and so it's trying to catch. And the other thing that I teach is that if you start arguing, that you do have a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you would with a child where you'd say, go to your room and stuff, but almost, because some people are children. But it's a timeout, but you decide that you're going to say, but we'll meet at such and such a time. Mm-hmm. It isn't like a timeout and you feel dismissed and you walk away. Cause often there's a lot of people, you know, mm-hmm. that's the other thing I ask. What are your communication styles? Do you shut down? Do you not listen and keep talking? Do you walk away? I mean, I know people get in the car and leave, and I'm like, no, you can take a timeout, but say, after the kids go to sleep, we'll talk.
Mm.
But it's knowing that your partner knows you're going to talk about it again, that you're not dismissing him or her.
Yeah.
And that works really well.
Yeah, that's true.
And you were saying that another part was to be able to disagree.
Yes. It's, you know, to be okay to disagree, that it's not always, you know, to be able to look at it and it's like, maybe I'm not always right. That's the thing I get is two alphas in a relationship and they always want to be right. And that's hard, because sometimes me as a therapist pointing it out, well, you know, you always want to be right. Mm-hmm. And they get mad at me. And I'm like, but let me have you look at this way. You know, it's not, there's nothing wrong with being wrong. You know, in fact, if we allow ourselves, we learn from each other. I mean, really, do you want someone who always agrees with you? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to be challenged and learn, but easier said than done, because we always want to be right. And we're in a world now where it's not how it used to be in the past, where people used to get married for, you know, years ago, people got married, the woman got married because the man was supporting her, and it was a way of life, or women couldn't buy their own homes. And, you know, now it's very independent women. So it's being able to, you know, like, again, even in when you're dating or premarital counseling, is what are our roles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that we like? Because it is, you know, the typical roles aren't there. There are still some. It's amazing. I do still see some that are very much, very traditional, but it's really changing. Men are confused because we are go-getters.
Yeah.
I mean, I get women in their 60s, even 70s, who want to start a new career, and their husbands want to retire, and, you know, and they're like, I'm just starting life.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That gave me chills.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, yeah, that is true. That's one of the things that I think it's the hardest now with, mm-hmm. you know, the role changing that's happening, mm-hmm. Everywhere. And I also wanted to talk about like financials,
mm-hmm. and especially money. With the holidays.
Yeah. With the yes. holidays. Yeah.
Because we're about to move into those times.
Yes.
Where people are going to start bawling out when they can't or they
yeah.
shouldn't.
Yeah. yeah. Which is interesting because I have lots of people who say to me, people don't know what therapy is about or what a therapist does. And they go, I bet you financial is the number one issue that comes. And that's not, it's probably way at the bottom of the list.
Wow.
But over the holidays, yes, yeah, some finances were, you know, typically one or the other will try to hide the expenses and then the bill comes along and they're like, what is this? So it's being open about it if you can. And there's also the one where though you got maybe one that's frugal and the other one is not, or have different, they were raised differently, where the holidays are really important to them and the other, that doesn't mean anything to me. Like I see that a lot because different, you know, we're getting a lot more mixed marriages and different cultures that have different traditions. But in the finances is, it's a tough one when you have a very frugal spouse, cause you know, and you're a big spender. So you really have to, you know, I tell them to set a budget. Mm-hmm. What I often recommend my clients to do for everything really is to have a once a week staff meeting. Like you would have a staff meeting at your job, have a staff meeting with your spouse where you look at the calendar, you look at your finances and you discuss, okay, this is what the week's going to look like. And in that week, include a date night.
Yes.
So that you have things spelled out. Of course, it's going to change, especially if you have kids and you have teenage kids, things change all the time. But at least you have a little formula of what the week's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And then you look at maybe you do the budget. You know, usually it's one or the other that likes to do the budget, but at least you both go review it. And okay, this is, you know, Christmas is coming. I want to have X amount extra to be able to spend that, you know, and it helps. I've had so many of my couples say that was great. I love doing the weekly staff meeting.
That's a really good tip. And also about scheduling a date night.
Yes.
Because I think people are like, oh, I don't have time for a date. I don't have time. And I'm like, you have to schedule it. You mm-hmm. have to
yeah.
put it there because otherwise it doesn't happen. Because yeah. life, just the kids, school, yeah. everything, work.
Yeah.
And if you don't purposely put it in there, it just won't happen.
And it's hard for some people because there are a lot of people who have, you know, if you have children and you don't have care, a nanny they can count on or family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, there's some people who are very lucky to have family, but there's some that are, you know, we're here with no friends. We don't know what to do. And they both work, but that's where you find that they're more disconnecting. And it is like, is there anything you could do to find, you know, time? Except yeah. don't leave your child alone.
I know we always make it a point and we always talk about taking time with your husband, even if it's 24 hours, even if it's one night, mm-hmm. just to go away and be with them and reconnect because mm-hmm. life just happens.
Yes.
You know, once you get back, life happens. Mm-hmm. And you go back to the same thing. And mm-hmm. 24 hours can do so much for you.
Oh, yeah.
Feel, you know, you can just be who you were before kids.
Yeah. And I even have it said, you know, if you don't have time to go away, go out to eat and then go stay at a hotel.
Yeah.
Just because it makes you feel like you're gone for the day
yeah.
and it takes away from the routine, everything you associate at home mm-hmm. and you can't shut off or you get, you know, you're not in the mood or whatever. It helps. You know, there's a combination of everything. It's like, it's taking care of yourself. It's having date night. It's having, you know, girlfriend or mm-hmm. buddy time, family time. It really is balancing everything, you know, because we are, you know, we want to meet our needs, which a lot of times our parents didn't meet our needs, you know, mm-hmm. meet their needs. Mm-hmm. My mom was a single mom and it was all about us.
Yes.
You know, and as I got older, I felt sad for her because she lived for us and didn't live for herself.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And it's, that's very common with Latinas. My grandma did the same thing.
That's so true.
And so, I'm a big advocate to try to advocate to Latino yes. women, please take care of yourselves.
Yes. And I also tell my husband, I'm like, you know, our kids are borrowed. They're going to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, we left, you left, I left.
Yeah.
And when they leave, I want to like you. You know, I want to like you.
I want to still know you.
Yeah, I want to know you. I want to connect with you, because I've noticed that, you know, once the kids leave, there's like lots of divorces happening because mm-hmm. all that kept you together was the kids.
Yes.
And so I remember one time, he told me like, well, you know, I love my kids and I said, you know, I love that you say that, but I would prefer if you say that I'm first.
Yes.
Because the kids will leave mm-hmm. and like, I want to be when they're gone. And that's gone. Are you leaving with them, or what is, you know, what does that mean?
Yes. Like, no. with her daughter.
But you know what I mean? I told them, oh, like, yeah. I want to get to that point where you say me first.
Yes.
And then the kids.
And that I hear a lot too. And I feel, cause I could see the wife's face when he says, well, I'm in this relationship for my kids. Mm-hmm. And like, oh. What about me? Well, of course for you too. No, I mean, it is, she should be the priority.
Yes.
Or he should be the priority. And they don't, and a lot of times that's hard. Like I said, I have to work in a world of understanding cultures. I get every culture and I can't critique it. It's how they were raised. Like Indians, it's a certain way. It's interesting, you know, the firstborn child has always got the responsibilities of his family forever. Usually his family comes before his wife. So
speaking of family mm-hmm. and speaking of holidays, mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who often say that their spouse's family's challenging and also deciding where to spend the holidays is challenging mm-hmm. and figuring that out when you're marrying somebody and that's changing. And how would you recommend dealing with challenging in-laws?
Oh, well, it's something that you have to have a conversation up front with your husband or your wife and just and look at it and go, you know, the holidays are coming and this is, you know, this happens. And sometimes they live out of state. Sometimes they live here. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes what they do is they trade off. So they'll go to Thanksgiving with one family and they'll go to Christmas with another, or every other year they do something. Or if they do it every year and they know, okay, I know I'm going to have my mother-in-law is going to tell me how I don't raise the kids well, how I don't do this and you shouldn't do that. I mean, I know I had a mother-in-law like that. You fold the laundry different than I do. So sorry. You know, really? Well, we all different. I won't even go into, some of the stuff. And
interesting how you fold this shirt differently.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I tell the spouse is that you've got to have your spouse's back. Mm-hmm. But again, there I go with going back to different cultures where the man goes, I can't, you know, again, because the elder son, I can't say anything to my mom. You know, she's, you show respect. You don't say that. And so then the wife is there upset. You know, you don't speak up for me. You don't help me. But yeah, it's about anticipating and talking about it, especially if you have had these toxic parents and what you can do. I mean, it's interesting because we put so much pressure on ourselves over the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's, you see TV and everybody's perfect and everybody's, you know, the beautiful dinner. And it's usually the most stressful time mm-hmm. because there's going to be an aunt that tells you all this stuff and you get mad or you're this or that. So it's either knowing I can't go, or like, okay, I'm not going to act like a kid. I'm just going to take the high road and deal with it and not get mad at my spouse because it's his parent or whatever, but he's not doing it or she's not doing it. It's his parents, but kind of just anticipate it. Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
Actually, it's so funny because last Sunday at our marriage class at church, somebody raised that question. Mm-hmm. About respect with the in-laws, and the facilitators were like, well, they're going to respect your spouse as much as you respect your spouse. And they were like, damn, mm-hmm. because they were like,
mic drop.
Yeah. Because they were saying, you know, if you don't allow people to disrespect your spouse, they won't disrespect your spouse. Right. So exactly. You have to, you know, you have to show respect to your spouse. And as much as you want people to respect them, you should respect them as well. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, okay. So, yeah. You know?
And the same thing goes with the spouse, with the mom. You know, it's hard. I mean, like I said earlier, my mother-in-law and I clashed a little, but I always showed her respect and, you know, had to, you just, and I did it mainly for him. Mm-hmm. I think I showed her more respect than he did because he knew how she was. But it's tough because, again, blended families, and you know, sometimes you've got the mom who doesn't think the son has grown up and my little baby, and you know, the wife doesn't know how to take care of him well and feed him good.
100%. I already know. Whoever should marry my child should anticipate that when they come into my house. So let's talk about, because on the other side, because I think everything is pretty much perspective, because there are some people that have nowhere to go for the holidays. They don't even have in-laws that are probably thinking, I would much rather have a nagging in-law than to be by myself. Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes when I complain about my dad to my husband or my mom to my husband, he says, I think... especially my dad, because he says, at least you have a dad.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have my father. Like, I wish my dad would call me and tell me all these things about me and me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just all about perspective too.
It is. And you know, it's also the holidays bring up a lot of sadness because mm-hmm. if you don't have parents because they're died or even, you know, they abandoned you, you know, it's understanding and putting yourself in the place of your spouse, and what, you know, and talk about it. What does the holidays mean to you? What, you know, what could we do? And try to create your own, you know, I call rituals, I think, are great. Create mm-hmm. your own
tradition,
mm-hmm. yeah. something that you will always remember. Even if you don't have children, it's just the two of you. What can we do that's special that we remember and we look forward to every year? Decorating the tree together and getting an ornament of that somewhere you were just at, or, you know, and being able to openly talk about, like I said, vulnerability is important. You know, if it is someone that, let's say their mom passed away, tell me about your mom and what are you feeling? What did you used to do at Christmas with her? And, because we're in a society of all attainment, and we don't talk about loss. Mm-hmm. And loss is something we'd have every day. If it's, you know, we lose our health, we lose, you know, our keys, but everything, and it's not spoken about.
Yeah.
And, it's important to be able to, it doesn't mean that you're sad. It's just being able to remember that person that passed away and bring them into your home, mm-hmm. You know, that they're still there in spirit.
Mm-hmm. And even single parents or women who may not have children nor a spouse and their family is far away. Mm-hmm. How do you suggest any coping mechanisms? Because the holidays can be a little depressing for those mm-hmm. who don't have people around or a community around, a family around.
You know, I always think if you can get friends as a community, I mean, we all do better, you know, with a tribe, mm-hmm. but if you don't, you know, what self-care can you do? What is it you like? Maybe go on a vacation. Anticipate it. This is not an easy time for me. What can I do? Mm. Sometimes I also stay with the feelings. We avoid feeling so much. Like we don't want to, you know, I'm feeling sad and it's not good to feel sad and there's something wrong with me. Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to stay with the feeling because what happens if you don't, you're sad all the time. It's better to face it, deal with it, and then move forward. I mean, I know people who are like, oh, from the time Halloween starts to New Year's, I hate it. And they're, you know, already anticipating it. And so it's also not looking at it that way. What can I do to create something? Go help someone out. Always being of service helps. Go to a, you know, soup kitchen, maybe. But it's hard, you know, I mean, as I said earlier, I lost my husband in the first year to 2 years was really difficult. I had my family, but it was interesting. I didn't want to be around anybody. Mm-hmm. Not the first year. The first year I wanted everything. I even had a tree. I just wanted to make a perfect Christmas for his presence. And the second year I went away to Hawaii with a friend that I had met. And it was nice, but because you know, my family would gather together no matter what. And so they came to my house because I have the bigger house. So they were celebrating my house. And I called to say Merry Christmas. And I got sad because I wasn't there because you don't know what you want.
Yes.
You know, and that's what it's trying to figure out. It's okay when you don't know what you want because you're confused. Do I want this? Do I want that? But lean on, if you can, lean on, you know, whatever support system you may have. If it's a clergyman, a friend. Friends help me a lot.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I have one last question for you regarding therapy. And do you, do you tell your children that you're going to therapy? Do you include them in this? How does that work with the kids once you are going to therapy as a couple?
That's an excellent question. I think you have to take into consideration their age and what mm-hmm. they're able to in their age group accept. My philosophy is kids should always be told the truth mm-hmm. because later on secrets come out and then they feel later, you know, you lied to me. You didn't tell me about such and such. If they're 2 years old, they may not understand, but let's say you have a 5 or 8 year old and they're so bright now, they understand yeah. mommy and daddy are arguing. So I say, tell them, you know, mommy and daddy are going to a teacher who teaches us how to get along better. So they see hope that you're working on it. And also that there's a place they can go to talk. And even you can invite them and say, hey, if you want to come one day and meet them and say hi to them, because kids are amazing. Kids come in and tell me what they're feeling and it gives me a whole insight on the marriage. So I do believe that depending on age, you know, and we don't tell them specifics I do not believe in telling your child that your father or your mother cheated. Yeah. You know, there are people who tell them everything or use their kid as the middle person, you know, tell your dad this, but I think being honest with your kids, because they're going to appreciate that down the road that
so true.
They've always been honest with me.
So true.
And one last question for me.
Okay.
For kids in therapy, how do you know how old should a child be when they first go to therapy? How does a parent decide if therapy is the right thing for their kids?
I've had children as early as a year old. Because if you see that a child is like maybe anxious all the time, you can't soothe. There's some issues. There's a lot of things. I mean, I'm not a child therapist, but as an intern, you have to do all kinds of therapy, but there's all kinds of things you can do. There's play therapy. There's drawing. Let's say your child is 4 years old and has not wet the bed and all of a sudden starts wetting the bed. Mm. Listen and be aware of that. If your teachers tell you anything, you know your child best. So you see mm-hmm. change behavior. It's never too early to get them into therapy because there's a lot of great child therapists out there. And, with television and everything, they get nervous. There's a lot of things is catch the anxiety now. Because, you know, most of us live in anxiety and mm-hmm. it builds more and more. And if they learn at a young age that there's somewhere that they could talk about their feelings, it really makes a big difference.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
I really, really appreciate it. Where can some of the listeners find you or
I have a private practice mm-hmm. in Pasadena and I have a website they can look under, Joanne Kogel, it's on Google. What isn't?
Awesome. We'll link it to on the show notes. Thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome. Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Calling to our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Okay, now back to the show.
We're back.
To the fire questions.
And more questions.
And more questions.
Thank you.
So
we were trying to get a free therapy session right here.
Yeah.
She's also, here's what I'm going through.
No, but this is the thing that I find like very interesting is, and you know, we're talking to Jaime here and I found it too, that I grew up with no role models good marriage role models. And even the ones that I thought were good role models, broke in front of my eyes. And it was very disappointing for me. So I think that's one of the crises right now, that there are no, you know, good marriages out there.
Yeah.
How does one?
Well, I think there are good marriages out there. We just focus so much on the bad marriages, especially if we had no role
that
models.
Is so I true. Too,
my only role model was my aunt and uncle that were married for 55 years. Otherwise, there was divorce from my grandmother to my mother, and it was always cheating men. So I hadn't, I grew up, you know, feeling like all men were cheaters, because you got that. That's the other thing that I have to really emphasize. I always do this little circle that I show my clients, and how the boundaries, we're born a free flowing energy, but then our boundaries get picked up. We hear everybody else's, like, oh, all men are cheaters. No, and I'm going by men because I'm a female, but what I heard, all men are cheaters, don't trust, this and that. So when I got older, all that was in my head. I didn't really have, I hadn't dated, I didn't have nothing to really go by, but I believed that. So I realized I had trust issues. So that's one of the reasons I went to therapy at 20. And because I was a late bloomer, I didn't trust it. And it really made a big difference, because I had to look at, you know, the messages. There's two sides to every story. You know, I mean, I love my mom and my grandma and my aunts, but what was their side? What was their side in the marriage? And so it's looking at that. Also, it shocks me now as a couples therapist that a lot of times when a couple comes in, I tend to feel like I'm taking the man's side and understanding him more, where it's like, boy, this was not me, you know, when I was a kid. So because that's you know, it's being open to seeing that there's two sides.
That's true.
And I think maybe what we is trying to concentrate on what role models are out there, even if there may not be someone you know, but some read something to learn how did they maintain their marriages. But it's also about us looking at us.
That's so
where
true.
Are we not being completely participating in this marriage?
Awesome.
So true. Well, thank you for that.
Thank
for
you.
That one last
now
question.
Let's get to your fire questions.
Fire
these are
questions.
Fun. These are fun. We didn't send these to you, huh? Our fire questions. Get ready.
No. Okay.
It's pretty personal, Joanne.
Oh, are they?
We're about to get it. We're almost.
You're about
deep.
To get a therapy from us.
Oh, really?
No. Okay.
Okay.
Who? Ariel or Jasmine?
Ariel.
Ooh.
Any particular reason?
No.
A friend of ours says because he likes seafood.
He likes what?
Seafood.
Oh.
Texting or phone call?
Oh, I like phone calls, but I got to say I've fallen into the texting also.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much easier. And it's terrible because it's really easy to, like, you know, say something that if you don't, it's when you're uncomfortable.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So true. Dinner and a movie or Netflix and chill?
I do a lot of Netflix and chill, especially after working all week listening to people's problems.
Oh, I can't imagine. You're just like,
I just want to chill. But you got to add that glass of wine in there.
Definitely.
100%.
Netflix, chicks, and wine.
Favorite book?
You know what's so funny? Because what comes to me, and I don't know why it's, I mean, I have a lot of favorite books. But I love Sidney Poitier, which you probably don't even know who he is. It was, but he
I would have thought you were talking about a girl.
Isn't that funny? But he wrote a book called Measure of a Man. And I loved reading that because it was like, if I could find that man, the world would be perfect. But then I have there's a lot of books. So.
Massage or facial?
Massage. I can't even think of the last time I've had a facial, but I had a massage 2 days ago.
Hoops or eyeliner?
Hoops. I put eyeliner today only because I knew I'd be on camera.
Early riser or night owl?
Night owl. I do not like mornings.
Instagram or Facebook?
Facebook more, but I do Instagram.
Beyonce or Selena?
Which Selena?
Selena.
Oh my God.
Oh,
Quintanilla.
Selena. Yeah. I mean, there was other Selena, but I was thinking
Selena Gomez.
She's gone. Yeah. Yeah.
You're so hip.
Because she's for just, no lady.
Like, she just dropped her album. Beyonce or J-Lo?
I have to go with J-Lo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, God, she looks amazing.
Look at her.
Look at her. She's Latina. She's got everything going for her.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like Beyonce, but I just don't get the whole queen thing.
Yeah, let's move on. Okay.
Tampons or pads?
Tampons or pads? Mm-hmm. Tampons. Mm-hmm. I want to teach every young girl that, about that.
We are
I feel like we're pads. We're pad girls, but I think because my mom put it in her mind, like if you were a tampon, you're going to lose your virginity.
That's why I said like, that's same thing.
And like, so we never learned how to use it.
Yeah.
No, that's why I said it. That's why I want to teach every woman. As a Latina, I don't think a lot of my white friends or whatever understand that. Like, really? I go, no, we were pads.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, I had a sickness, you know, for 3-5 days. It was crazy how we were raised.
People are in bed. People still are in bed with their period. Like,
what is
period?
It with the Latina women? Why, you know, come on. But it is. You're going to lose your virginity if you use tampons.
Oh, God. Coffee or tequila?
Depends on the night, the time.
Depends how many clients I saw that
Friday
day.
Friday night.
That's true. Friday night, tequila. Not coffee.
Monday morning, coffee.
Yes.
With tequila, I've had a rough night the night before. Favorite cocktail?
Martini.
Mm. Mm. How do you like your martini?
I like.
Are you specific about a
dry with a olive, blue cheese olive.
Mm.
Taco Tuesday or happy hour margaritas?
Happy hour margaritas.
Yes. Mm. Sex or a massage?
What is sex these days? No. I'm not giving you too much information. I'm a relationship therapist. And sex.
Nice.
Okay, so what are you absolutely loving right now?
I guess what I'm loving right now is just being older. I'm not loving being older because, you know, the pressure of being older, but it's not caring what other people think.
So oh, yes!
Oh my God. I was just talking to my girlfriend, my best friend. It's her birthday and it's her last year in her 30s.
Oh, and, geez, she's old.
And I was telling her, oh my God, that just means you're closer to getting to that age when you don't give up about anything. And she
I'm
was
already
like,
at that age.
I'm working towards that.
Yeah. I don't care.
Get your therapist to help you with it.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you, John, so much
for
everything.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.